We've qualified for the World Cup. Go and compete.
Hello, clap. And welcome.
You've been listening to.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you actually, Adrian, because it's been a jam-packed weekend full of sport in general. But with the football now, a lot of games jammed into the Saturday. One Sunday game, one Monday game. Now, though it's a little bit different since, you know, post-COVID and crowds back, that we don't see every game televised. Mm-hmm. How have you found it? Did you like it?
No, I didn't really, actually. It's a good point because I couldn't watch any games on the Saturday. The only game I could watch with Sky is Chelsea. And honestly, that was probably one of the games I cared the least about. So,
yeah.
No, I didn't get it. Like, because no 3 o'clock kickoffs are televised, are they?
Not in the UK, no. In Ireland, you can. For like BT Sport and Sky, but no. Not in the UK anyway, no.
Well, there was nothing yesterday. And I was actually with Connor yesterday, and we had a very difficult time trying to find some way to watch Arsenal play. Very difficult.
Oh yeah, Flynn's not here, for anyone that's surprised by his lack of input so far. It's just myself and Adrian flying duo today.
He's doing lots of work behind the scenes on this.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. He's not well. It's a strange one because, I don't know, it was just the worst weekend for it to happen. You know, there was no goals. There was like one goal in the 3 o'clock kickoffs at like halftime.
Mm-hmm. And no Friday games?
No Friday night
one
game.
One Sunday game? What's the thing behind game. That? Is there something on that I don't know about?
Well, it's Europe this week, you know. Champions League, Conference League, and Europa League are all on. So that does impact a lot of teams. But generally, you'd have like, because Liverpool are in Europe, and should they have a game at 4:30 on a Sunday?
Yeah.
So there was no, you know. But yeah, no excitement on the Friday nights. I kind of like the Friday night games. I think they drag out the weekend nicely.
And then Everton I think Burnley on the Monday to really fucking cherry on the cake. Yeah.
I mean, Jesus. But in terms of recording a podcast, it's actually ideal, is what I would say. Because like all the games are done and like we have never spoken about Burnley. So it's fine for them to play Monday every week if they choose to.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's do you know what? I loved it back in the day when it was like fantasy, fantasy football. Because like the goals would be flying in and you'd be like frantically trying to check who scored or assisted and so on. But like I said, like no goals in the first 45 minutes apart from someone's in the 47th minute that we'll mention later.
Mm-hmm.
And not now.
It's a teletext, That's when it was good.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's true.
Not when we can't when we expect to see every game of football as it happens. Afraid not.
Yeah, bit odd. And looking ahead too, it looks like there's going to be more shenanigans, really, because it's not the next weekend, it's the weekend afterwards, that on the Saturday, there's 2 12:30 kickoffs, which is new to me, to be honest. So Chelsea City at 12:30, which is a normal game to throw on, you know, a televised game.
Yeah.
And then United Villa at 12:30 too, at the same time. 3 o'clock games. A 5:30 game, Brentford Liverpool. Let's see now. No Friday night game. 2 games on the Sunday. And a game Palace on the Monday. I don't know. Maybe they're experimenting, but please just, I don't know, show us the football.
Yeah. Just show us the fucking football. Exactly. They need to make more times. Forget like these 3 times. We need evening kickoffs on Saturday and Sundays as well. That's what we fucking need.
Yeah, we need Thursday afternoon kickoffs too. Like as much time as you can use up. You know, pick on the shite times in the week. You know, like a Wednesday morning. Just throw a game.
I couldn't believe that Liverpool and whoever they played at 4:30 today was like the only Sunday game. Isn't there usually like a 2 o'clock one? And then isn't there usually a fucking 7:30 one or something?
Yeah, there's normally on the way it normally goes on the Sunday is at least a 2 o'clock and a 4 o'clock game.
Yeah.
But they, yeah, they've, I don't know. Like I said, maybe they're experimenting, but it's mixed. I think if you're going to the game, sure, it doesn't matter too much, I guess. It's actually probably better for people traveling to games, like an away game,
yeah,
rather than like a half 12 kickoff or the middle of the night having to get back. But, you know, I guess we're not in that position when we're watching Burnley Everton, so we couldn't give two shits.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, I thought it was an interesting weekend of football, like last time.
Did you?
In the opening weekend. Lots to talk about. Lots to talk about, no?
I was a bit disappointed. I don't know. I was kind of hoping... You know what? There was a little bit of an upset with the Palace game. I guess that was probably the most interesting thing. But, like, everything else kind of just happened as you'd expect.
Okay. Yeah, maybe I'm riding high on that first game.
Yeah. You don't have to listen anymore. What you expected to happen, happened. Don't even check the scores.
Same with this podcast, too. We decided we were going to talk about football, complained about it for a little bit, and then changed the subject. So, yeah, everything is as you were.
Yeah.
Have a good week. Yeah, no, maybe I'm just riding high, because I don't know if you remember the last podcast where I was very optimistic about Palace.
Yeah,
I don't know, I just had that feeling, and it carried all the way through the week. And I remember quite vividly Saturday morning hearing about the, you know, Son being out, the kind of drama with the Argentinian players being in Croatia, as you do, and it being kind of messy, and that Spurs have, to quote Flynn, flattered to deceive. You know, they were top of the league, but, you know, three goals, none conceded, weren't really convincing in their win. You know, I felt really good. And it was like the first weekend where, I guess, in a long time, where as a Palace fan, you were like, you know what, we have got like 15 solid players here. You know, we'll actually give them a game if nothing else. You know?
So you have enough players anyway.
Exactly. We actually have good players and enough of them. You know, just not looking at, like, you know, I like Cech Kouyaté. He did a job for us, but like not having to see him line up at centre back and not have to see, you know, I know he still plays, but like, IU up front by himself, like he's not really a lone striker, and just, you know, the dark days seem to be over, but it just was perfect. You know, it was a good game, tense game, pretty tight. We pretty much had I think we had a good go of it. The red card obviously changed the game. Zaha again getting in the head of everyone, got a fella sent off, and yeah, then we just, I don't know, it was just a rout. Like the crowd just responded and it was brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
And all of our new signings connecting. Edouard scored two, you know, what was it, 17 seconds on the pitch? And he put one in, which is amazing.
Yeah. We figured that he has like two fantasy points per minute played or something like that. It must be some sort of record at this point.
Yeah, that's brilliant. Well, he's on equal goals with another signing in this transfer window, who we'll mention later. Ooh, what a tease. But even like...
Can we do like a who's that Pokemon for the thing? Who could it be?
It's Joe Willock. Yeah.
I want to ask you about one guy, actually. Gallagher? Yeah. Or Gallagher? Which one?
Yeah. It depends. I think he's English, so it's Gallagher, right?
Gallagher,
R-G.
Right. Yeah, where did he come from?
Chelsea.
Okay. Is he on loan?
Yeah. He is on loan. But there we go. We have to make that permanent. And I think even though the way it felt like last week was that he played a great game against West Ham where he scored twice, and everyone was like, we have to make him permanent. And then Chelsea signed Jermaine Sowell on loan. And it was basically looking as if, like, if he had a successful spell with us, he'd want to stay and we could try and push that move at the end of the loan. Because, you know, he's down the pecking order with this fella, Sal, signing and playing the same role as him, basically. But then Sal had, like, the worst 45 minutes of football I think anyone's ever had in the Premier League. I don't know, did you see it?
No.
But he was just atrocious. Eh? I think he was at fault for, like, a good few mistakes. And he got taken off at half-time, so...
Okay.
You know, our testicles have contracted. to the state of worry that he might go back to Chelsea again. But, you know, we'll wait and see.
Yeah, but that's, I mean, he's young, I'm guessing, is he?
Yeah, he is. Yeah, he is.
So, is he going to be another stupid... fuck, I can never remember his name.
Loves his cheek.
Oh, there has just been so many of them. McEachran, do you remember him?
Oh, yeah.
He's just some guy, and there was so much promise around him. Young Chelsea midfielder, and he's probably at, like, Middlesbrough now or something.
It's true. It's true. It's the same as Gay as well. We signed him from Chelsea, and he was another one that was just doing the rounds on loans.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Gallagher was at West Brom last year. Like, they couldn't get a goal out of him, and he's absolutely, like, on fire with us. He hasn't obviously changed that much over the summer. He's not just become a new player. And, quite funny that the England under-21 captain, Guy, basically pocketed the England senior captain in Harry Kane. Harry Kane didn't get a look in. It's quite impressive.
Yeah, I couldn't believe he was actually playing. I watched the highlights and hardly saw him.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? Like, Harry Kane, without Son, is basically ineffective. But Son seems to do pretty well without Kane. So,
yeah.
I don't know what that really means. Maybe Kane always needs a playmaker to be effective, but, like, he was a ghost. You wouldn't have thought, after the success he had over the summer and, you know, towards the end of last season, he could have been anyone. He could have been fucking Jordan Ayew.
Yeah, he's sulking, probably.
Probably.
Yeah, well, be on 400 grand a week. And what was the other thing? Oh, yeah. So, just want to point out this thing that you shared of Zaha making a little comment of when you're playing football the proper way and it's planned. That's basically how he said it. And it's planned. And you're not just hoofing the ball around the place. Little dig at Hodgson.
It would seem so, wouldn't it?
It's and I was reflecting on it and I felt kind of bad for him because, like, he's looked back at probably all his jobs except for the Fulham job as, like, a bit of just a loser. Like, Liverpool for sure, anyway, but maybe you can't even count that. England, the only thing I remember of him is that meme of him looking and then putting his head down.
Yeah, that was it. That was it. I mean, his whole England manager tenor was just basically that Iceland game.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what else he did. No, Harry Kane on corners and losing to Iceland.
And then I was like, at least he's leaving a good legacy at Palace. And about 3 weeks, well, three, whatever it is, four games in, and his best player is being like, yeah, sure, he had no fucking clue.
I mean, I think, you know, it's just a funny one. Like, you don't want to be too harsh on the fella, like, because he did the job. Palace would not be in a position to hire an unproven manager and sign a bunch of young lads, basically, without the job he's done. So you got to give him credit for that. He really did stabilize us as a very yo-yo Premier League team. And we were doomed that season with Frank de Boer. But I just think that he didn't go with the times. You know, he didn't move with the flow. You know, you can't have players like Zaha and Benteke. Like, we've slagged off Benteke a lot. And I know he's gets a lot of stick from Liverpool fans and stuff too, right? But we never put in any crosses in for Benteke. Benteke is 6 foot two of just, you know, meat that wants to head a ball. And we never gave it to him. Like, that must be frustrating as a player to know that your manager just will not refuse to play to your strengths. And it was, I mean, do I think any more or less of Zaha for saying it? Not really. Probably more, because it is cheeky to say it. But it is true. How can... You know, I'm not saying it, like, the bubble could burst any minute now, but, like, Vieira has come in, basically been given the transfer key, like, given the reins, along with Dougie Freeman, the director of football, signed a load of, like, really exciting players, solid defensive players, and, you know, we're doing okay. We just beat Tottenham. We basically rattled two teams that were flying high, West Ham last week, or 2 weeks ago, and Spurs this weekend. And... Yeah, I don't know what that really means. Would Hodgson have ever have been that exciting or forward thinking? I don't think so. I think he was just happy getting, like, James McArthur types in tenfold and just, like Zaha said, planned football hoofball and, you know, planned counterattacks. It's boring.
Yeah. Yeah, you're a team flying high, but you've a tough gig next.
No, of course not. But like, this is kind of what we like. Again, going back to kind of what I said last week, if we come out of the first four games unscathed, I feel we'll do good. And like, we've got 5 points from it. We've kept two clean sheets, lost to the champions of Europe. And yeah, I think I it will be a good game. I actually think it's going to be a really entertaining game.
Yeah.
Do I think we'll get rolled over? Not really. Depends how we turn up. But if we take the same attitude as we did against Spurs for yourselves next weekend, I think we can give you a game, or a better game than Leeds did today, which is my segue.
Oh, very good.
That's good. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Go, basically.
Okay. Leeds. I wasn't ready to talk about Leeds. I was ready to talk about Liverpool. Yeah, look, it was kind of what I expected, actually. I think we learned our lesson last year when we kind of underestimated them, I guess, and, you know, how intense they are.
Yeah.
Their crowd was really on it as well. So every time, like, they were fucking, like, harassing for the ball, the crowd were really up with them.
Yep.
So to get the early goal killed that. Like, the stadium was dead after that, because they were given Salah loads, they were given Trent Alexander-Arnold loads, and they killed it pretty quick. To be honest, technically speaking, or tactically speaking, I just thought we were better. I thought Bamford looked pretty isolated. I didn't see much of Harrison. Is it Rodrigo is the other one?
Yeah, and Rafinha as well.
Yeah, he had a pretty good chance to, I think, level it or else go one up, and he just blasted it straight at Alisson. And the front three looked pretty good, even without Firmino. But Mane, like, even though he scored, that guy missed about half a dozen decent chances.
Yeah.
He looked out of sorts. Like,
yeah, it's a strange one, isn't it?
Yeah, because there's lots of talk of, like, okay, last season, you know, was kind of a weird season. We should be back to it now, full preseason, and he's just not. It's just like he's past it. It's like he had two or three whopping seasons. Like, I just always think of that first goal against Arsenal. Remember where he, like, cut inside with good skill and weaker foot? He was unstoppable. This time, like, a few yards out, can't hit the target. But that is a concern, I'd say.
Yeah, I do find with, or I've always kind of thought with Mane too, is that he's a bit temperamental. I think when the going is good and he's happy, it's like, you know, walking on clouds.
Yeah.
Because I guess you've seen, and it must be hard playing second fiddle to Salah, because let's be honest, he is. No matter how good he's been, it's the Salah show for Liverpool over the past few years.
Mm-hmm.
And it does affect him, because you've seen the kind of struts he's thrown when he's been benched or taken off, and maybe he's been playing better than Salah. So you wonder, is something like that affecting his game currently? Because, when the last goal went in, I know it was just like final kick of the game stuff, but it was almost like, about time, you know, about time he put it away.
It was, yeah, it really was about time, because it was getting a bit sad. I will say Chamberlain made him look good when he came on, and maybe that was it. Maybe he went, Jesus, I'm fucking better than this guy. And maybe he's a bit threatened by Joha, because I think Joha is better on his side than through the middle. And maybe he sees a bit of that. Maybe there's a bit of overlapping and he's going, fuck, am I going to be pushed out of position here or something? But yeah, I don't know. What I would say is I think the Liverpool 11 is underestimated.
Okay.
If I can put it that way. If you pick Liverpool's first 11, it's underestimated. People are still thinking, sure, they were only third last year, and they don't think any more than that. Add in one or two more. So, you know, there's still Firmino there, if you're counting Jota as the first striker, whatever. And there's at least one or two in midfield that could come in and help things around. The backups, especially in defense, are pretty good. So you've got a good 11 with some good subs or rotation there as well. It's not the squad that City have. Okay? It's not. But you don't need the squad that City has unless you want to go and win 4 trophies.
Yeah, it's true.
And Liverpool don't give a shit about cups.
Yeah, when we look year over year for the Liverpool squad, I know there was like plagued with injuries last year, but when you kind of line out with Henderson, Oxlade-Chamberlain, Keita, your new lad, Konate, and Joe Gomez as backups, and then someone like James Milner there too, which, look, he's not an elite player anymore, but like he's done the rounds. And like compare that to last year where you were kind of like struggling to form a bench and there was like Ben Davis and like 2 keepers on the bench, that kind of stuff. You know, it's
dark times.
It was dark times. I actually have, well, maybe 2 points, let's say, because I think we need to talk about little Harvey Elliott as well at some point. Mm-hmm. But with Firmino's injury now, do you prefer Jota to start over him? Because Firmino's, he's a little out of sorts too.
It's really hard because I'm quite biased because I've got him in my draft, Firmino. But I think I think Jota probably is the preferred one now over Firmino. But I think Firmino can probably... I think you might see them change formation maybe a little bit. So instead of doing a 4-3-3, they might do a 4-2-3-1. And you might see Firmino as part of the three. Maybe Salah or Jota as the one. Something like that.
Yeah.
Is that making sense? So
it is.
If it's the straight 4-3-3, I think Joe has probably overtaken Firmino. And I think everyone probably sees that. But I think there's still a place for him. He's a magician when he's on it. But
yeah, and again, it's a good option to have, right? You want that competition of
And I think like Shaqiri's gone, okay, but Shaqiri was kind of only used in that system. If you think Firmino can play in that system, he's probably an upgrade on Shaqiri. So even though it doesn't seem like there's any upgrade, there probably is one for that situation.
Yeah. Yeah. That's fair. Yeah. Someone who's as well, who has been under scrutiny, I guess, it's probably the best way of putting it, and hasn't really lived up to maybe the expectations when he joined is Thiago. He put in a solid shift today, got an assist, and seemed all around good.
Look, that's all fucking talk. The Thiago stuff is all talk. I mean, what do they want? Do they want him scoring 30-yard screamers? What do they want? You know, he was playing in a team of fucking nobodies last season. Of course, they weren't going to win the league. This season he looks good. I think he was injured at the start of the season. But, I mean, a midfield of Fabinho, Henderson, and Thiago, I'm absolutely fine with that.
It's not bad. It's that option, isn't it? Like, because if it's not them, you can put in Keita, you can put in Oxlade-Chamberlain. I know he was playing in the centre for a bit. You got Milner, you got Curtis Jones.
Yeah.
Ah, the boom is back, baby. Except for Harvey Elliott, the boom.
I know. Is
very much gone.
Did you see the clip?
I did. Yeah. The old leg not going that way. It's not supposed to.
It's one of those.
Didn't work out for him.
Do you think it was a foul? Or do you think it was a red card is what I meant to say?
I don't know. I just think that whenever it results in that, it's just default, really. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like there's an unintentional elbows or the unintentional high boots. It's like, maybe. But if you've broken someone's leg, you're not playing football correctly. I know there could be accidents, you know, but he caused a potentially season-ending injury. I think the referee has to instinctively go off that. Is it the worst tackle we've seen? Was there intent? Definitely not. You know, he didn't go into that tackle trying to break his leg, but
it was I didn't realize it, but it was totally from behind. Is that a straight red? Like in my
Well, that's
what I thought.
That's the thing. Yeah.
Everyone was saying it's not a red, but then I saw it and I was like, he's just done him from behind. I mean, he doesn't mean to break his leg, but
Yeah,
he's just slipping from behind. So
it's this old argument, though, isn't it? Where it's, and I'm guilty of it too, because I like, you know, flowing football, and I'm not against, like, you know, good tackling and stuff, but it's like tackle from behind breaks Elliott's leg but wins the ball, so therefore it should be a legit tackle. It's like, I mean, you could elbow someone in the face, take the ball off him. Did he win the ball? Yes.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean it's not a foul play. But yeah, look.
Well, I was just going to say, there's a reason that tackles from behind were banned, you know?
Yeah.
Because players can't ride the tackle or adjust or whatever, you know? It's illegal. Well, illegal in the game. You're not going to get arrested for it. But...
Going down the high street, just like slide tackling people from behind. Sunday I'm not getting arrested for this. Yeah. It's okay. I'm not getting arrested. Yeah. So look, comprehensive in the end. Leeds huff and puff. You know, Bamford could have had about 20 goals this season. But look,
yeah, there's
second season syndrome, perhaps. I know you were mentioning in the bottom of the table.
It is. Yeah. I don't think there'll be Sheffield United, who, by the way, we were seeing yesterday, are like bottom of the championship, or like second from bottom. What a free fall that is. Hilarious. Like, they just have a lot of players who aren't doing anything, that this season last year were banging in goals and fucking playing out of their skin. They just look like a kind of will be grand Premiership team. No, like you said, they huff and they puff and they'll outrun anyone, but nothing amazing, I would say.
It just depends, you know. I think I can't remember what game we were like reviewing before, but it was about Leeds. But like, we were basically saying how like sometimes they play to lose. Well, not they just think they're not going to win, and they don't have that same gung-ho attack that they usually have. It feels like they choose when they're gung-ho now, which is kind of a shame, because it was nice, wasn't it, for those like first 15 games where it was just like, what are we getting? Is it going to be a 6-4 thriller, or is it going to be like, are they going to get pummeled 7-2 or whatever it was?
They
change, man.
Yeah, well, even today, they went out and they went for it, but there was just so much space, and these two centre-backs had like the three Liverpool players running at them, and you must think, like, no matter what, after 20 minutes of that, and you're a goal behind, and it's still happening, the players have to go, this isn't going to work. Like, we've seen it so many times that the players get humiliated, like fucking 5-0, 6-0, whatever. And there has to be a point where the players go, I know this is his way of playing, and I know it will win us games, but we're not going to win this game based on how this is happening. And, you know, at what point do the players start to go, do you know what, let's just fucking shut up shop, because I don't want to be spanked 5-0 here. I mean, today was 3-0. It could have been 1-0. They could have just shut up shop for the rest of the game and then tried to hit them for the last 10 and just see what happens. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not great to watch, but it's probably what I'd do as a manager if I'm against Liverpool and they're running riot on me like that.
Yeah, it's true. Well, look, they've got 2 points after 4 games, which is definitely not the form or the results they were getting last year. They are getting into a good run now. I think they've got a few, let's say, easier fixtures, but they got Newcastle, West Ham, easy. Watford, Southampton, easy. Wolves, easy. Norwich.
Easy.
Do you know what I mean? But if they slip up against any of those, you know, you go away to Newcastle and don't get a win, you're 5 games, 2 points. That's when the fun begins.
Yeah.
I guess we'll stay at the bottom of the table. And then,
oh no, this is gonna get cut.
Yeah, it's not the same without him being here.
I know,
but I suppose we'll try our best to review Arsenal. I think last week, I'd like to, you know, just remind everyone how great that little kind of 10 minutes was from Flynn. He was very upset, and very raw.
Very raw. Very good point. Yeah.
But Arsenal bounced back, Adrian, with a 1-0 win.
Yeah. About time. First goal. Mm. First win. I watched this with Connor. I'm not going to speak for him, but certainly my feeling throughout the game was, they controlled it Well, it felt like they controlled the start of it. Then they kind of didn't take advantage. Norwich got back into the game before you knew it was halftime. Arsenal definitely had the better chances throughout. But the longer the game went on, the more anxious things got and the more it became a possibility that Norwich might nick it. And as time went on, I was even thinking like a draw would nearly be the worst result because I think Arsenal fans, certainly Connor, if I can speak for once, had it in his head, if they lose this, Arteta's gone. And if they win it, fine, okay, build on that. But a draw is so in between that I think no one would have been happy with it, but would it have been enough to fire him? And actually, I wonder, is there underlying disappointment, not that they won, but at the manner of the win against the team it was, like at home against the whipping boys, Norwich, and 1-0, you win it in the last 20 minutes. With the scrappiest of goals, by the way. I mean, I think off the post twice and then comes off a player. And oh, yeah. So I don't think Arsenal fans would be happy with the outcome, but obviously with the result, it's, you know, it's the win they needed.
Yeah, yeah, that's it. I agree with you on all that's mentioned. It might just be the spark they need to kick on. They've got Burnley next, and then they've got the London North London derby against against Spurs. So again, not easy fixtures. But Arteta mentioned that it's like it was the most important like week and a half in Arsenal's recent history or in his career. I don't know if I saw enough of a reaction personally from you know, from the drubbing from City, I guess. And I agree, you kind of go into that, don't you, thinking that it's like, all right, we need to get back on track, but we need to big. We need to put three or four past these, because it is Norwich at the end of the day. No disrespect to them, but they are by far the worst team that have, you know, that are in the Premier League right now, I would say. And yeah, at home, you know, crowds being back. And just not great. Just not great, really. You know, I'd still be very concerned as an Arsenal fan about this season.
No.
The only saving grace is they don't have any like Thursday night fixtures to like distract them this year. But that said, who knows?
Yeah, no, I think that's spot on as well. Is that that's all they have to focus on really is the league and the cups. And they're starting now to get the team back, like their first 11 back. And if they can keep that, it's much improved on what's been playing beforehand. Because some of the players that were playing, like I'd never heard of them, frankly. And like even your man Partey coming back, I know he's not, you know, fucking Mr. Miyagi, he's gonna like change the world or anything, but he's like a big player for them. I mean, they spent like 50 million on him, so he's got to be better than the fucking young lad they brought in from Conor Flint-Holmian, I forget. But I mean, he was fine, but not great. Aubameyang is back. Who was the other one? Gabriel was back.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. You know, the new signing too, what's his name? Is it Tommy Yasu, I think. He's back, and it looked like hopefully what Arsenal want as their back four, or, you know, back line.
Oh, you mean the right back?
Yeah, sorry, the new lad. The fellow they signed from. That's his name, isn't it?
I don't know. I'm finding out.
You think I'm just having like subtle racist jibes here, is it?
Yeah, I think that's I feel like that was pronounced differently when I heard it, like Tommy Yasu or something. Tommy Yasu.
That's it.
Oh, fuck it. There's no more like Chambers, there's no fucking Kolasinac, which I think we're playing against Arsenal or City, weren't they? So
yeah.
Look,
and dropping Leno as well, big call. Ramsdale. You know, you sign these players, you play them, I guess. Leno's out the door.
That's that's the end of him, pretty much.
Fuck him.
Yeah.
Fuck it.
Fuck him.
Yeah. They need a big another win against Burnley now, and I think they could start to see some momentum. But yeah, not out the woods yet, Arsenal, dear.
No, and you know it is that worry of how slow are they going to be to get rid of a man who just spent 150 million of their money, you know?
yeah, it's true.
But I mean, if they're just going to be staying in the bottom half of the table all season, I'd say they'll have to.
Yeah, I mean, who are they going to get? Like, they're going to drag Wenger back and he's just going to be there harping on every week about playing two fucking World Cups every 2 years.
Connor, what do you say? I said this to him a few weeks ago. Conte?
Conte, yeah. But I mean...
Good luck.
Sure.
I wouldn't say it to his face, but say it over there. Good.
That's it.
Good luck.
Yeah, I don't know how appealing it is, but Arsenal still a big team. You know, they have pulling power. I suppose we'll have to now at this point.
Yeah, Chelsea. I know. I'm dreading it. let's just cover Chelsea quickly because honestly, I didn't see the Sol thing. But Lukaku looks like the real fucking deal. I mean, Harry Kane, see you later, Bob.
Yeah, that's
like,
it.
He's,
yeah.
I'd be worried about him. Well, I wouldn't be personally because Van Dijk had him in his pocket, but he'll get them fucking goals. And they didn't even, like, that wasn't even their best team, like, by a long shot.
No, they kind of cruised and they didn't, like, 3-0 was probably flattering too. I don't think Villa deserved to go down 3 goals, but yeah, when you've got the squad that Chelsea have, like, they have replacements for every position with good players and, you know, someone as clinical as Lukaku, which I think is absolutely mad that was his first goal at Stamford Bridge.
Yeah,
it's just really strange.
Was he was there youngs, like,
but even like playing for West Brom, United, who else did he play for? Everton never scored in Stamford Bridge either. You know, he's been in the Premier League a lot, but to have his first goal at Stamford Bridge in his second run at Chelsea is very odd. The man's has a crazy career too, really. He's kind of done it all,
Lukaku.
In terms of clubs, like, he's been around the place.
Yeah, I mean, it seems just forgotten that he was at United for a couple of seasons, and he cost them 75 million or something, didn't he?
Yeah.
Remember we were debating who would be a bigger hit, Lukaku or Morata? Who would have known the answer was neither?
It's incredible. True, isn't it? Yeah. It's mad. But then Lukaku goes off to Italy where everyone thinks, you know what, this is United basically just like getting rid of Deadwood, goes over there, wins in their first Serie A in a long time, scores tons of goals along with a load of other ex-Premier League players like Christian Eriksen, rest in peace. And now he's back in the Premier League, absolutely, you know, smashing goals in and destroying Tyrone Mings. So everyone's happy.
And the weird thing about him is that I heard that one of the reasons that he wasn't performing all that well was because he was like overweight or it was his like digestive issue. And at Inter, they figured out that it was some sort of food he was eating. How is it that he can be at Chelsea's medical team and Everton's and fucking Man United's Everton team Everton team, medical team, and none of them pick up that like, oh, he can't eat brown rice or some shit like that. It's, you know, don't eat peaches anymore and you'll be shit hot. And that's literally what's happened. He's gone there and they've said, don't eat these. Don't, and he's shit hot. It's
crazy. Yeah, it is pretty crazy. Do you know what it is that they told him to change?
No.
Because wouldn't it be bad if you just found out, like, you know, if you die and you're at the pearly gates and it's like a review of your life, this is your life. And you're up there and your man's just like, if you just hadn't eaten that many bananas every week, like, he would have been an athlete.
Yeah.
He would have been a millionaire.
I mean, he probably is. Like, people die of nut allergies. He must be at the gate being like, what were you thinking? I didn't make you to eat these, you know?
You had all of those delicious, delicious cows. And you chose nuts.
What the fuck is soy? Yeah.
Very good. Very good. Well, so, fair play to Lukaku. He found he's a changed man.
He
worked out for him.
And Chelsea haven't fallen off the wagon yet.
No, no. They'll be all right. They've spent again to ensure they'll be fine. Speaking of spending to ensure they'll be fine.
Oh dear.
I suppose we'll talk about just, you know, a throwaway part of the weekend, really, I guess.
The fucking weekend, like the last 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah, consumed
by it.
I literally got a countdown timer of like when his contract ends, like fucking hell. It's, and not just like our friends and our lads, like it's literally just everywhere I look on social media, it's just a grinning Cristiano Ronaldo. And
was he not going to City? Was he not going to City?
City told him to fuck off. Yeah, right. City told him to fuck off.
Yeah.
So,
so he went to the next best thing.
Yeah, sloppy seconds.
Look.
Yeah, United are the girl outside the kebab shop, right? Just remember that. At 2 a.m.
Look, I don't like it. I'm not saying I'm worried, but I don't like it. And when I saw him play against Ireland, I was like, he's going to fucking do that all the time. He's not, like, all the montages, Jesus fucking Christ, the montages leading up to anything on Sky Sports is Ronaldo just doing stepovers with epic music behind it. It's like, we get it. He's back. We don't give a shit anymore. Okay? But he's not going to be doing that kind of stuff. He's not going to be, you know, the same Ronaldo he was before, but he's still going to be scoring those kangaroo headers against every fucking team, and I hate it.
Yeah, like it's hard to deny the fact that Ronaldo is just an amazing player. Mm-hmm. It's just a shame that he's doing it back in the Premier League and for United again. Because it's going to, you know what? I'm going to sound really bitter here, and I probably am. It's just that I think that Ronaldo is going to paper over so many cracks that, you know, I just feel like, you know, Charlie from Always Sunny when he's down in the postal area, you know, where with Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, where I've just about cracked exactly why this guy is the biggest fraud in football. And then they go and throw Ronaldo in and I just can't take it because he's going to just like then. I mean, I again, not to sound too biased, like, but there was a good 30-minute spell that Newcastle were in it. They were. Mm-hmm. Even after halftime, they got an equaliser. Yeah, it was only for 6 minutes, and like it didn't ever feel like United were going to lose. Mm-hmm. They were the better team. It's just there's still that element of United being United, like they have been for the past few years, and maybe Ronaldo is what it takes, or Varane's what it takes to kind of shrug that monkey off their back. But
so
yeah,
there will be a few questions come in. Right, there's guaranteed to be questions coming during the year, and it's like every team has to deal with. It'll be injuries. What injuries are they going to get that they're going to have to deal with? Because suddenly, if Wan-Bissaka or Luke Shaw gets injured, I don't know who they have. Do they have?
Yeah. Well, I don't know, because that was the thing, wasn't it? I think the lads were crying out for a right back and a central midfielder.
Yeah.
Before Ronaldo, and it was looking like until Ronaldo signed, it was looking like as if it wasn't I mean, they got Sancho, they got Varane, so I mean, a good transfer window, but it didn't really address the massive needs that they have.
McTominay is already out injured, but I mean, if they had Fred out injured now as well, you know, that could happen. Then they're fucked.
Because it is Dalot is the backup right back, and again, maybe he'll do a job.
Maybe. Right. Yeah.
I don't know.
And then on top of that, it's like the forward players, like they do have, when you look at it, an incredible amount of talent in the forward line, but how do you make that work? And that was the whole point of Fernandez as well. People saying, would he fit into it? He scored a goal, so you have to say he fit into it, but will it work every week? Is Sancho a flop? Yes, maybe. Yes. so we'll have to see. The other thing, and I think this is more of a key issue, is if things aren't going for United, is Solskjaer going to be able to hold that dressing room? And when I say hold that dressing room, I mean hold that fucking dressing room with Varane and Ronaldo. I'm not talking about these little bitches that he had last season. I'm talking about actual winners. And I don't know that he can control that dressing room when things aren't working. And I think the tail could start to swing the dog a little bit.
Yeah, well, let's be honest here, right? He's never controlled that dressing room, because ever since he got hired, Alex Ferguson returned to the scene.
Yeah, well, that's true. Yeah.
All I'm saying is that Ole Gunnar Solskjaer could be a puppet for Alex Ferguson, and what he might be doing is like gathering enough information from Ole to, like, you know, when he's ready to die, to like consume him and become like the person with the face of Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, but he is eternal Alex Ferguson. You know, I'm not fully convinced that that's not going to happen.
I hope not.
Yeah.
We'll send a welfare check to Ole Gunnar Solskjaer and make sure that no one is consuming him.
That's it. Lose a game if you're in danger.
I mean, as it stands, United, Chelsea and Liverpool are all top with 10 points. If Everton win tomorrow, they will also be top with 10 points. So it's going well for them. But it ain't a done deal, and it's a long season. And I don't know that this manager and this Man United have dealt with proper adversity just yet. Apart from all that shit that they played last season and losing that final and all that.
All those finals.
But a bit like you said, it feels like papering up the cracks, and they probably haven't dealt with the key issues.
Look, if it works, it works. It's exactly what City and Chelsea do. I think I'm secretly disappointed that they have to default just do that, because you know what? That's the one thing I kind of gave United credit for, is that in this whole rebuild project, which seems to have been paused by buying older players, is that, you know, players got a chance. Like Greenwood broke through. Rashford was getting minutes. Luke Shaw redemption. Your man Henderson potentially being starting keeper. I know he isn't. But McTominay, who is in the middle of his career, let's not forget that he's not a young lad. But the, you know, those kind of things. But they're just like, players are just going to be forgotten now because Ronaldo's in. And I think maybe that's just like more of a bigger issue in terms of like football, where like it's on that knife edge, your career. But yeah, like he'll come in, he'll score a goal a game. Like, what's he got, 13 in his last 13 Premier League games? Man, the fella is born to score, and he always will. And even in Spain, he just would, you know, he might go a couple of games and not score, but then he'd bully a smaller team and get a hat-trick. And it's just how it's going to be. I'm really excited. I really genuinely am excited for some of the like big clashes this season, though, because the men will be separated from the boys very fast this year, I think. Because there's a lot of potential brilliant teams there. You know, the ones we've mentioned today, and Palace, and like United, the Manchester derby is great. We got a taste of what it could have been, Chelsea Liverpool. That was, you know, that was a tense affair with a little bit of a teaser. It was a bit too early on. We've got Liverpool United relatively soon, I think. Liverpool City is the start of October, and Liverpool United is at the end of October. So yeah, we're only about 2 months away from a lot of these games actually like taking place. And I think that before Christmas, we'll get a real insight on how good these teams are and how much of those cracks that have been papered over, whether or not buying Varane and Ronaldo has done the job. And if it has, then it's their title to lose, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we thought we were excited for Liverpool United last season. I think this is the real deal. I think this will be big swing in dicks.
Oh, I love it. Yeah, yeah. I know we're probably running long tonight. I just had one other like point, non-football, that might want to talk about, Adrian, unless there was anything else you wanted, like any final thoughts for United and Ronaldo.
No.
Perfect. I'm seeing an increasing amount on Facebook of like these quote funny posts where it's like only 100 people get into heaven. Type the last three digits of your mobile number to see what place you get into heaven, or what city were you born in. Let's see how many places our followers are from. Are you seeing posts like that a lot by chance?
No, no,
no,
no, like no.
Okay, but you know what they are, right? You know what they're doing. Like phishing.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
So it's all like security questions, but I'm seeing tons of them on like people commenting on them, and it's all just trying to get like security questions. But like millions of people are replying to these posts. With their mother's maiden name, their city they were born in, their pet's first name. Like, madness.
No, I don't see that. I only see... I have a few friends who are big on, like, commenting on those things, like, cheers from, you know, Laura in Dublin or whatever. But no, I haven't seen many of those posts.
I wonder what you see them now that we've spoken about it. But yeah, like... I'm just like, I'm at a loss for people. Like,
Look, people on the internet are fucking stupid. They don't read shit. Any quote on the internet is seen as gospel. Put a quote underneath Eamon de Valera and it's like, well, sure, I heard that Eamon de Valera said XYZ. People just take it. So,
As we well know.
So... I don't take any... I'm not surprised by anything on the internet at this point. Dude, we saw someone put up their bank card details on a post.
Yeah, we did. And it got approved by the admin.
And people were commenting... There was a few comments saying, you do realize you've posted your card details before anything grubby, happened. Like,
the grubby fingers around it, too.
Oh, man.
Oh. Yeah, so... Look, everyone, thanks very much for listening. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please leave your mother's maiden name, your PPS number, and your full address in the comments.
Great.
Very good. Very good. Right. And cut.
You've been listening to the Put Them Under Pressure podcast. For more of our content, make sure that you follow us on YouTube, Spotify, and Facebook. Outro music.